and governor, during whose authority...
...be found on page 64. It is written in Exodus, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbour in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from a sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with the unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals, on all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." Here endeth the first reading.
Amen. Thank you, David. Now, would you please stand for our second hymn, number 600, Marching.
Make preparations for us there. So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Thank you, Carol. We will now affirm our faith in what we believe, saying the creed together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in the one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Thank you, Hazel.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Please be seated. I did have a nice visual aid in mind for this morning. I don't know whether I've got it or not. But the choir do have it in a nice printed out copy. I don't know whether the screen is working because I can't see it because that one isn't working. Oh, great. Wonderful. Right. Angela, you need to share one of their pictures. This painting is by Zurbarán. It isn't essential, but I think it's rather beautiful. For some weeks, we've been following the story of Moses, from his early life to his leaving Egypt to looking after sheep and to his return with Aaron, his brother, to lead his people to freedom, acting only on God's instructions. Pharaoh's enslaved people go. He thwarts God's power time and time again, each time tightening his grip. It's a long and cruel process. Liberation can be a long, hard battle, as any black South African will tell you, or any African American Negro, or indeed any seasoned Christian. We come to today's reading. There is to be one final and decisive plague, the plague of the firstborn. God will strike the Egyptians where it will really hurt. He will finally break Pharaoh. Although we know that Pharaoh still will not give up easily. His army and chariots follow the Israelites until they pass safely through the Red Sea. The waters close after them, drowning Pharaoh's army. No, freedom does not come cheap. Just as Pharaoh had once ordered that all the Israelite baby boys should be killed at birth, now the firstborn of every Egyptian family, from slave girl to Pharaoh, will die. And the cattle, too. The Lord speaks to Moses and Aaron to issue some final instructions about their imminent, frustrated, and long-awaited departure from Egypt. This is how it is to be handled. God points out that this departure is so significant that a new era is to be marked by a new calendar. The liberation of the Israelites will be so astounding that the ordering of time will reflect that reality. Just as BC became AD after the resurrection of Jesus, and the Saturday Sabbath became Sunday, the first day of our week. Instead of clinging on to them, now the Israelites will be driven out of Egypt and will have to leave in haste. They are to prepare carefully and reverently by taking a pure lamb or goat. They are to carefully select and house the creature for 2 days before it is to be killed and eaten. The instructions are to be noted and carried out to the letter in this solemn ceremony. This is sacred. The spilled and precious blood of the lamb is to be used for a special purpose. It is to be daubed upon the lintels of the Israelite homes to mark them. These homes will be passed over when the angel of death visits the Egyptian homes. They are to be marked by the blood of the lamb, to be kept safe and protected from the evil that is afoot. Just as we are metaphorically marked by the blood of the lamb in our baptism into Christ. And the Israelites are never to forget that momentous and terrible night. This Passover meal is to be reenacted as an aide memoir, retracing their steps from what they were, slaves, to the hard-won liberation of the Lord. They are never to forget what they owe to God, or be allowed to take it for granted when they finally reach the promised land. It is a memorial to the Lord's power and liberation. All this took place 1,300 years before the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And each year, over 1,300 years, the Passover took place, and the story was told again and again throughout each generation. It was part of Jesus' heritage and custom. Following tradition, but rewriting it as he went, Jesus took great care over the preparation for his final Passover meal with his disciples. It was a hugely emotional time and would take on a new significance. Let us attempt to capture a little of the atmosphere surrounding that meal. When I visited Israel in 1990, just before the possible outbreak of another war, I was aware of huge tensions. Jerusalem was like a bubbling cauldron. Massive political tensions. and the Jewish guide for our group was a captain in the Israeli army. He was waiting to be called up to fight again, and he really didn't want to. He was also worried for his family, who were being stoned by some of the local Arab children. I have never felt anything like that tension. And that makes me aware of the huge tensions that must have been building up in and around Jesus. It must have been electric. All along, during his ministry, Jesus had appeared as a new Moses, with anyone with eyes to see or hear, leading his people to freedom. He'd reenacted the original crossing of the Jordan, the time in the wilderness. He had fed the people in a miraculous way. There were echoes of that original liberator and liberation throughout Jesus' ministry. In the old order, in the Old Testament days, the regular sacrificing of lambs had long been a means of transferring sins so that the children of Israel could know themselves forgiven, could know the cost of sin being borne by an innocent victim, a pure and spotless lamb. From Old Testament to New Testament, John the Baptist, early in Jesus' ministry, points to Jesus and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." What a strange thing to say. Had the people to whom he spoke any idea of the import of this? Or would they only look back afterwards and realize? And now, at this very meal, Jesus would indicate that he would be the final and complete sacrifice for sin. He, the Lamb of God, was about to lay down his life at the very hour the sacrificial lambs were slaughtered for the coming Passover feast for the Jews. And the Passover meal, the memorial of freedom from Egypt, would become our Eucharist or communion service when we eat Jesus' body and drink his blood instead of that meal of roast lamb. The bread broken and the wine either symbolize or become his body and blood according to your Christian tradition. In our tradition, we regard it as a memorial, just as a Jewish Passover meal was a memorial. Just as they repeated the story of redemption from Egypt and the price paid in the blood of innocent lives and the death of a pure lamb for each family, we are to remember frequently the cost of Jesus' sacrifice and know that he has set us free. No more to rely on our own goodness or works. It is finished, completed, paid for. "It is finished," said Jesus as he gave up his spirit. "I have paid the full price." If you find this difficult to grasp or appropriate, why not speak to someone and see if you can get some help with this? In the communion service, we tell the story time and time again. Some settings of the Eucharist make this very clear. Notice today how the story is told. Do we grasp the significance of this symbolic meal? There's always more to discover and appropriate. As we all come together, equal in the eyes of God, all fallen short, all redeemed, at peace with one another, we make communion. Communion with one another and with God. We offer one another a sign of peace Jesus came to make this possible, to break down all barriers of age, race, and class, and gender. Eating together is so important in our human bonding. How sad that so many families today do not have a dining table or sit around a table. Together with our communion services, our weekend away at home is another opportunity to express our being family in Christ, to eat together and play together in our meal on the Saturday evening. We will eat a modern day, inexpensive meal of pizza rather than roast lamb, but it is a time we celebrate together. And we have a story to tell about why we do this, why we come together when we often have so little else in common. We come together because Jesus has died that barriers may be broken down. We are family in Christ. What roots we have in our faith. The Bible is one long connected story, a meta-narrative, a story of creation and redemption and salvation in which we're all players, from Adam to Abraham to David to Jesus and on through the generations to the present day. And we are passing on the story, we hope, to those who will come after us. God is still asking us to meet together, to celebrate his liberation, as we will do today. Amen.
Thank you, Hazel, for reminding us of the story we must never forget, and for bringing us this delightful painting. We know Hazel has a special gift for art, and we enjoy the benefits of the findings she brings us at times. Wonderful image of the lamb. Thank you. So we turn again to our service sheets. Whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Please stand for our third and offertory hymn, number 496, 496, well known to us, lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us, all the world's tempestuous